Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today. Your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friends, Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Thanks to them for their support of Raider Nation Radio and Silver and Black Today. Hey, everybody, Scott Culbranson. It is a Wednesday, and it is the first full day of the Gus Bradley era for the Raiders defense. We'll continue to talk about that today. We want to get your comments, too. We're hearing from a lot of you. It's been mostly upbeat, mostly positive. Do you have a varying opinion on this? If you do, give me a call, or if you support it, you have concerns, whatever it may be, we want to hear from you. 702-365-9200 is the number for the Raider Nation Radio listener hotline. You can also text me. That's right, we have the Salmon Ash text line, 69187. Put RNR, the letters RNR, your question or your comment and your name, and we'll try to read that one on the air. Today, joining me, special co-host again, is my good friend, of course, from Sports Illustrated, the Raider Maven website. It is Mr. Hondo, or as we call him, Uncle Hondo Carpenter. How you doing on this Wednesday, Hondo?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me. What a joy and a treat to be able to spend today with you.
Well, I appreciate that, Hondo, and the fact that we can get you on here and going is fantastic. So we'll get rolling, and we'll figure out what we're going to do, what the direction is, because we so much time, you know, Hondo, we want to make sure that Raider Nation has the ability to speak up here too, and they have the opportunity to speak. And this Gus Bradley hire, you know, we haven't talked to you since it happened yesterday. I like the hire. I think those that have not really been in favor of it don't have all the facts, and often have mistruths about what Gus Bradley did at the Chargers and over the course of his career. But tell me what you think. What was your first impression? We kind of knew Gus Bradley was the favorite. What did you think after you got off the press conference yesterday?
Well, first of all, we've been reporting since last Friday on Pritch and Clay that he was the guy that everyone in the league knew, but John was really taking time and letting other guys sell him. So I thought that was brilliant. And I like the fact that Gruden's instincts were right, that he went and talked to a bunch of guys, but the guy he thought at first was the one he wanted. I like that he's an aggressive play caller. I like the fact that he goes out and he doesn't sit there and say, okay, come attack us. We hope to bend and not break. He's a guy that says, no, we're coming after you. We're trying to knock you out of the game. He's an old school Raider guy. Should have been here. I love that. I like the fact that his defensive backfields, when he coaches defensive backs, were guys that went on the tack. When he's a coordinator, there were guys on the attack. How many times did we say we wanted to see John Gruden have a defense that was like his offense, that went out there and attacked? I like it. I think it's a great hire. I think, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. This is all about John Gruden. This is his guy. And to me, I think I like the hire, but I'm not going to judge Bradley by how he does here. I'm going to judge Gruden by how Bradley does.
Yeah, it's a good point. And you said that the other day on Monday when you joined us, and I stuck with that yesterday, and I agree with you. I think what you're saying is right. And it's a big year. I mean, for this franchise, it's a turning point. You have to turn it now. And that's why getting in some discussions with folks around this hire that weren't really high on it, and a lot of the criticisms I've heard is, well, okay, if we want a middle-of-the-road defense, and Hondo, I'm sitting here saying to myself, if the Raiders had a middle-of-the-road defense in 2020, they're playing this weekend.
They're playing this weekend.
Yeah. They're playing this weekend, and you and I are talking about a Raiders playoff game. So, and remember, the last 30 years, the Raiders have had two top 10 defenses in 30 years. Many of our listeners weren't even around then, or if they were, they were still crapping in their diapers.
Well, and another thing you got to talk about, Scott, because I think it's something that a lot of people are missing, and I think very critical, is, and I think it's a very simple point, is when you give coaches can only do with the talent they have. So when you put him in a place where he had mediocre talent, he got more out of him than probably that he should have. But the point of the matter is that it's going to be Mayock and Gruden's job to give him weapons. You want him to cook dinner? you better buy him the groceries. And I mean, the point of the matter is we're not asking him to take a disappointing defense and put him in the top 10. We're asking him to take a deep, disappointing defense and make him mediocre.
Right.
Get him into 19. If they're at 19, they're playing this weekend in the second round of the playoffs.
I agree. I agree 100%. And that said, look, yes, eventually you'd love them to be a top 10 defense, but that's not going to happen from what happened this year to what Gus Bradley can do in 1 year. He's not a miracle worker. I said yesterday, he's not going to part the Red Sea. His middle name isn't Moses, as far as I know, and he's not going to do some miraculous miracle. But the other criticism that I've heard to Hondo is that one of the things that people have said is, well, this Raider defense, it does have talent. We heard how talented they are. They spent all these first round, second round, third round draft picks on this defense. And so now you're saying he needs more talent. And what I say to those people is there's talent there. They have not scratched the surface on some of their talent.
Let me tell you this. There is a bunch of talent in that Raider defense that has not been developed. Right. Let me start with Jonathan Abrams, who every general manager I talked to has said that guy's got all of the pieces. He just hasn't been developed. Now, part of it was he got injured last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, though, he was continually making mistakes that hurt the team and the organization and not getting benched. Let me tell you what you're going to love about Bradley. He is an in-your-face, aggressive coach. He has a matter of fact, one guy told me yesterday, he's got a lot of Bill Parcells in him. You know, I'm friends with a lot of guys that played for Parcells. And it's interesting for me to hear the way they talked about Parcells. If you did what Parcells liked, it was great, but he wrote everybody.
Yeah.
And this guy's going to come into town. And let me tell you guys something. John Gruden is all over that offense. He's tough. There's no mistaking that. John Gruden, it's clear. All of a sudden now, and you saw it under Rod Marinelli, Club Silver and Black went away when Marinelli took over.
Mm-hmm.
Club Silver and Black is done with Bradley now. This is going to be a guy that's going to challenge his defense, to challenge that offense in practice. He's going to bring an edge to him. This was a great hire. If you're not excited about this hire, then you're a person who only looks at numbers and doesn't understand the nuances of the game. When you give this guy weapons, he's a gourmet chef. And when you don't, it's McDonald's dollar menu. But still, he makes a meal out of it. You're going to love this analogy. I heard one player who played for him told me this yesterday. He said, no one's better at making chicken salad out of chicken. So, hey, you want as a Raider is a chance to eat in the postseason.
That's right. And that's the other thing, too, though. You talk about numbers. And I got in a discussion with somebody on Twitter, which I don't do very often anymore because it's such a toxic place now. But there was a discussion where he's like, well, you know, he didn't do so well his last few years with the Chargers. He did better in the early. I'm like, no, it was the opposite. He turned around the defense there. Last year, they were a top 10 defense in pass overall in passing and rushing. And then this year, they were just outside the top 10, but they had a top 10 passing defense. So if you're going to say you don't like Gus Bradley, I'm okay with that. We can agree to disagree,
mm-hmm.
but come with facts. Don't come with BS. Don't come with you're disappointed because boo-hoo, Wade Phillips didn't come. Come with facts. Come with information. And tell me why. 702-365-9200 is the number. Call me and tell me why he's not a good choice, but don't say and give me false numbers. Give me real reasons why you're not happy with the hire. I think most people are happy.
And let
Hondo.
Me say this.
Yep.
Don't give me the reasons that you read on Twitter from someone else. Bring your own opinions. Bring it strong. Let me tell you this as you sit in your mom's basement and want to disagree with Scott and I. That's great. But if you're going to call Raider Nation Radio, bring it. I don't want to hear what Cow and Cow Turd said. I don't want to hear what Mom's Basement 235 on Twitter said. I want to know what you think. I want to know why you think it. Bring your own opinions. If you can't bring it, then just listen. By the way, speaking of just listen, I owe you a big shout out, Scott Gilbranson. One of my buddies, Scott Phillips, loves you. And I got to tell you, I get in his car. It's on 920. He goes, you ever heard Scott Gilbranson? This guy's great. Let me just tell you, you got a following You're the man, Gil Branson.
Oh, right back at you, Hondo. I appreciate that, man. We do it as a team effort. It's great to have you part of the team here, too, and to co-host with us here more often now, which is going to be fun as we move forward. Okay, now, Hondo, one thing that we do in this first segment now, we just started it at the beginning of the week, and we're going to have you be part of it, is we now are going to look at the world of sports. It doesn't have to be NFL. Of course, we focus on the Raiders. We focus on the NFL, and when it's pertinent, we'll do that. But what we like to do is point out winners and losers from the last day in sports. And I say winners and losers, meaning that if we call them a loser, it doesn't mean they're a loser with an L on the forehead. It means that they just lost, or they made a bad choice, or they had a bad game, or they had a bad situation. So that's what we're going to do. So here it is, winners and losers.
In life and sports, not everyone gets it right. The line between brilliance and ignorance is a fine one. And Scott and your boy Q are here to call them out. It's time for today's winners and losers.
All right, so we're going to jump in. Hondo's doing this with me today. Winners and losers. And I have my winner and loser as the same, and I'll explain that in a second to the listeners and to you, Hondo. My loser slash winner, and I put loser first, is James Harden. James Harden just got traded from the Houston Rockets, this is the world of the NBA, to the Brooklyn Nets. Now, James Harden wanted a trade. He acted like a big crybaby over the whole thing. He wanted out of Houston. It was so bad in Houston. So now he gets to go to Brooklyn for the Nets. And he gets to play with Kyrie Irving, who's decided that he doesn't want to come to work because he's upset over what happened in the Capitol last weekend. Now, I don't care what your political views. Everybody's got the right for freedom of speech. I support it 100%, including if I disagree or agree with it. Doesn't matter. It's okay. But Kyrie Irving, for a week, has stayed away from his team, but then is seen on a Zoom video getting ready for a candidate's work and information in New York in the Brooklyn DA's office. So he can't go to work, but he can be involved in the political process. I wish we could all do that, but we can't. So my winners and loser is the same, Hondo. It's James Harden, because this is what concerns me. I love the fact that the players in the NBA have taken more control over their careers, over the games, over what happens in the league. But I think this goes too far, because this guy decided, meh, I want to leave. He punishes the fans of Houston. He punishes the organization. And now he finds himself in New York, where James Harden and his sensitivities are about to get just bombarded by the New York media. Because when he gets a load of the New York media, he ain't going to like it.
Losers. I've got a couple. The Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant, who I think is a great guy. I love Kevin. I've talked to him many, many times. Good person. He is now stuck on officially the wackiest whack job team in all of professional sports. I'm going to start a hashtag for tag free Kevin Durant. Let's get him out of there. I feel bad for Kevin Durant. All right. Come on, you have to admit, that's true. Do you not agree?
I agree 100%. And that's what somebody tweeted out, real quick, Hondo, before you get your next loser. Somebody tweeted out a picture of Harden, Irving, and Durant, like with their hands on this crystal ball, saying, here's the fight for the ball in Brooklyn. It's going to be a disaster.
It is going to be an epic meltdown that's just going to be fun to watch. I would literally buy a ticket to a Brooklyn Nets game just to watch the implosion. It's going to be beautiful. Next, I want to give you a couple of winners. Damon Arnett and Jonathan Abrams. Those two young men desperately need Gus Bradley. Now, they're going to quickly have to come to Jesus and have a meeting and decide either we want to live up to our potential and we want to be professionals, or they're going to be cast away in the wake of what's going to be known as Hurricane Bradley. Those two guys are going to get all of the coaching they deserve. If you are Jonathan Abrams, with all of the talent God has given him, you should be sending offerings to John Gruden, Mark Davis, and Mike Mayock for bringing Bradley here. If you are Damon Arnett, who desperately needs the coaching he's going to get from Bradley, this is a career saver for those two. I realize they're both young, but these two we saw last year desperately needed what's coming. This is a great thing for them if they take advantage of it. Two big winners. But I want to give you a big loser. I want to give you a huge loser. It's the AFC, because all of a sudden, John Gruden, who is a terrific offensive mind, went out and brought in a taskmaster-driven defensive coach who's going to absolutely take the talent and the parts and bring in the kind of assistant coaches. He's keeping Rod Marinelli, which I believe he needed to do. And all of a sudden now, the Raiders just got better. All of a sudden now, this Raider team, which you saw twice go up against Patrick Mahomes and Derek Carr, outplayed him and should have beat him twice. All of a sudden now, the Raiders just got exponentially better. Enjoy your playoffs and enjoy your offseason, AFC, because the Raiders just got better.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, no, I like that. And on the point that you made with the winners, Arnett and Abram, when you look at those two guys, who's most concerning to you? To me, it's Abram, because, look, Arnett came in a rookie, and I know what everybody says about Abram coming in and missing last year, so he was in essence a rookie again, but he was in the program 2 years. If you look at Arnett, here's a kid who comes in COVID year. That's hard for rookies, period. And so he comes in, and so I give him a little more leeway. I'm more concerned with Jonathan Abram. I think Arnett's got a year and a half to figure it out. With Jonathan Abram, I think this is it. He's got to do it. I think you're right about Bradley. I think you're right about his coaching staff and who he's bringing in from a position perspective can help him turn around. Because like you said, in all the contacts you've talked to, I've talked to, everybody loves Jonathan Abram. He just needs someone, and you called him a taskmaster, and I like that because that's what he needs. He needs that discipline. He needs to understand how to play. He needs to know how to be a professional.
All right. Well, I'm going to say this. Talking to people inside the organization and people at Ohio State, I think that Damon Arnett needs to mature a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want you to hear me saying that he's a bad kid because I'm not. But he needs to mature. And one of the best ways to mature is have a boss who continually is going to keep his steel-toed boot right up your can.
Right.
And I think I think Damon Arnett is going to benefit from that. I think it hurt him this year a little bit under the country club known as the Paul Gunther machine. And I think all of a sudden now accountability's back in style. You're going to see guys get benched. Again, I told you, I talked to a player that played for Gus. I said, what is your biggest example for him? He goes, I can't tell you how many times I heard him say, I control the most important thing, boys. It's playing time. So piss me off. I'm benching you. and he goes, he will. And he goes, and let's face it, guys in contract years, guys are always worried about their stats. He goes, you don't get those if you're sitting on the bench. And yeah. He goes, I just know from playing for him, every day is a competition. He goes, he's like Parcells. He's constantly going to be doing hit jobs with people and going to go after them and bench guys for no reason just to see how they react. He is going to be an instigator. He's not there. He goes, his exact words where he goes, if the Raiders think he's coming in to make friends, they're wrong.
Yeah, no doubt.
And he goes, and I asked him, I said, how do you equate that with what you know about the Raiders? He goes, to me, that's old school Raider football. Because Al Davis didn't want to be your friend. He was friends with the guys who produced no matter what.
Right.
That's who he was most loyal to.
Because they proved it on the field, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. And Hondo, the other thing I was going to say before we got a caller on the line we want to get to, but I was going to say yesterday, the one thing, and I played the clip yesterday on our show, was I loved when Bradley said, look, my job, I want to make these players uncomfortable. We need to be uncomfortable. And that goes back to your point about not being club silver and black. It is about discomfort, because when you're in discomfort, you work hard, you don't rely on your God-given ability only. You know that you have to be disciplined, and you have to practice, and you have to execute. So the fact that he wants, it doesn't matter who it is, they'll find, as you said, their butt on the bench if they don't play hard. You got to love that, and that is Raider football. All right, we're going on the phone lines. We're going to Matt in Hoboken. Matt, you're on with Hondo and Scott here on Silver and Black today.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I like the Bradley hire. I think it's a great hire. I like everything he's talking about and where he's coming from. But I will say that I think this is probably going to be his toughest job yet as a defensive coordinator. I don't think he has the kind of players that he had to work with, you know, even when building in Seattle. I don't think, obviously, we don't have the kind of players he had in San Diego and now Los Angeles. There's no Melvin Ingrams on this team. There's no Joey Bosa's on this team. So I think he's going to have a lot less to work with. I do question the fact that we believe, you know, you believe that there's so much talent on this defense. I mean, I'd like a little more evidence provided to suggest that, because the evidence that I saw over a 16-game season didn't suggest that to me. It didn't suggest that we had tons and tons of talent on this defense, just on the sample size of this past 16 games. So I'd like you to provide, hopefully, some hope to me that we do have a little more talent than I think we do on defense, which I'm not convinced that.
No, and Matt, I don't mind, and I don't think being skeptical is wrong. And when I say they have talent on defense, at least from my perspective, I'll let Hondo speak for himself. It's there's potential for talent there. Potential is much different. You have to live up to your talent and your abilities. If you don't live up to you can have tons of talent and abilities. I mean, we can go through the history books are littered with talented, amazing athletes who never reach their potential for whatever reason. And I think
potential
on that Raiders defense. Yeah, exactly. And that's why you have to get somebody in here who can get the most out of what they do have. And that's where we're just talking about Arnett and Abram. I don't know. I can't tell you if Jonathan Abrams is a great player because I don't know based on his performance. So can a coach come in and get that out of him? We'll have to see. But I do agree with you. I think they need more talent. And I believe, and Hondo, I'd love to hear your take on this as well. I believe the Raiders, you said they don't have a Melvin, they don't have a Ingram, they don't have a Joey Bosa. You're absolutely right. I think they should be active and free agency and the trade market and look for a couple of, if not at least one of those guy type of guys, and there are several available to come in on that defensive line. I don't think they have the time to go all draft again. They have to get some alpha dog, mean dudes that instill fear in the quarterback when they line up on the line, and in the defensive backfield, an experienced leader who can show these young guys how it's done.
Well, first of all, I want to talk to our brother from Hoboken and ask him to go to Carlos's Bakery for me, my favorite spot, and get a cannoli. I can find him in Vegas, brother, like I can at Carlos's. Please go have one on me. Is that a deal?
Absolutely, Hans. I'll do it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I love going to Carlos's. But second of all, you talk about talent, and I want to disagree with you a little bit, but I want to bring facts. I don't want to bring opinion and discredit you and disrespect you. Number one, Jonathan Abrams has all of the God-given skills that you can't teach, but he doesn't have the discipline and the technique that comes with coaching. So when I talk about him, Aklif Farrell, how about Mo Hurst, who was underrated on this team this year, very underrated. Aklif Farrell, when he was healthy, played good. But I'm going to tell you guys, don't undersell Mad Max. This is a guy that, I mean, this year, after a 10-sack rookie season, this year faced double and triple teams almost all year long. And because there was no pressure on the other side, his stats went down, but he still had a very good year. I think you look at guys, this is going to surprise some people. I think Corey Littleton, and I think that his effort was great. Kwiatkowski's effort was great. I don't think that especially Littleton had the year that people anticipated. But I think that was an anomaly. I think when you get him on a system where he's a lot more disciplined, I had one guy tell me that part of the thing that hurt Littleton this year was up front for the Raiders, the defensive tackles weren't eating up some of the blockers, and guys were able to get to him at the second level much quicker than they should have been able to. That's where I think a lot of these issues come in, and it's technique. I agree. I think this is a team that can't wait to just build everything by the draft. I'm going to watch who they go get in free agency. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to, and I was already told this, there's going to be some free agents that want to come play for Bradley because they're going to like that attacking style, especially with that offense. So I agree with you. We got to see more, but there is a lot of guys there that were highly valued by a lot of NFL teams that weren't developed. And this is why the hiring of Gus Bradley is all on John Gruden. Because now Bradley's got some weapons, but he's going to have to come in and develop them. He's going to have to coach them. And to me, I agree. I don't think your question was outrageous. I don't think you were being a hater. I think you're asking for legitimate reasons, and I tried to give you a couple.
Yeah.
And if you disagree, send me the bill for the cannoli from Carlos's, and I'll buy it, brother.
Matt in Hoboken is always great. He always has great calls. Matt, thanks again, man. We appreciate you. All right, we're going right on to the next call before we hit a break. It is 502 Raider D. 502 Raider D, you're on with Scott and Hondo here on Silver and Black today.
First of all, man, I love the show. Hondo, you give me so hyped, and I'm sitting here in Kentucky. Every time I hear you, man, you give me hype. I know you're not a lifelong Raiders fan, but you can tell it by listening to you talk. I want to kind of address.
Well, Dick, tell you what, I'll do this for you, 502. The next time you come to Vegas, I will buy you a steak dinner. Me and you, brother. You hold me accountable. You come on this show and you tell them if I lied to you.
Absolutely. I love that, man. I would love to meet you. That would be, I'll be there. I was going to come this year, but my wife and a bunch of group friends, we're going to come to Vegas, but, you know, pandemic. So we will be there. I will be there every year. I promise you that.
Awesome.
Remember that. And
promising you one dinner.
I was hoping to get maybe every time I came, but that's okay, though. I'll take it, man. I'll take it just to sit up and chop up football with you. But the gentleman they called before, listen, man, if you don't believe, and this is just the truth, and you guys know this, there is talent on every team. Don't, you know, people don't just get drafted because they like the school, or they like this, they like the coach. I mean, and if you don't believe that the Raiders have talent, then you don't watch football. I watch every draft like it's my team, like I'm the GM. And we have done a really good job getting people. But what you said is the absolute truth. But it's not about necessarily who your defensive coordinator is. It's about who he has on his staff, how they develop people, how they have a different approach. I guarantee you something. With the players, we still need a tackle bad. But with the players we have right now, I think we could be a top 20 defense. No, but I'm not saying this from a fan. I'm not the kind of fan. I'm the kind of fan that's realistic. I've been an optimistic, stupid-ass Raiders fan my whole life, and just no matter who we draft, I think they're going to be the best. But I've gotten realistic here as I'm approaching 50 and know that it takes development, man, from linebackers to the DBs to the line. I think that he was the best coach available, and I think he fits everything that Mayock and John want to do, man, and I am absolutely stoked and excited. That's who I wanted from the beginning, and that's who we went out and got, man. And I wish them nothing but luck. And I think that we will see some significant changes here in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely. 502 Raider D, thanks for the call, man. You take care of yourself. And yeah, I mean, and Hondo, before we go to the break, I mean, I think that's the key here is, I think that the only people that are really expressing disappointment are the ones that are unrealistic, that think you're going to go from a 27 or 25 defense, depending which category you're looking at, to a top 10 defense in 1 year, when you have to address up front. You got to address perhaps some linebacker issues. You have to address some on the back end as well. You can use another cornerback, another free safety. And so when you look at that, he's right, they can be a top 20 defense. If they're a top 20 defense, again, Hondo, they're playing this weekend.
Well, yeah, and you know, Scott, you can tell your listeners whether or not this is true. I said all along that Bradley was the front runner for the job. Yep. I know there was a lot of people that wanted Wade Phillips, but I'm going to tell you, as I did my research on Wade, and I'm not in any way discrediting him, he is a great defensive coordinator. He wasn't a guy that was going to come in and develop guys. That wasn't his strength. It wasn't where he was at his best. Had this been a more mature Raider team, and let's say a defensive coordinator had retired, then I think you go get Wade Phillips. But you needed a proven teacher, a proven developer. You know, any guy can go out and get a girl pregnant. But I don't care if you're the biological dad or not. It takes a man to raise a son.
Right.
It takes a man to be there. And real men raise the babies that they make. And I'm not saying that being a coach is important as being a father, but it's the point of, you can give anyone the job, but if you're going to be successful where the Raiders are today, you needed a guy who's going to come in and teach, who's going to come in and put a boot in a can, who's going to come in and demand. And right now you're seeing an immature Raider defense that needed someone to come in and absolutely say, this is what we're doing, like it or lump it. Now, they've got some guys on this team, like a Jeff Heath, who I've already said, I think he's going to be a Pro Bowler next year. But you know what? You don't have a team full of great veterans. You got a bunch of young players that needed this. This makes them better. You know, Bradley's not going to have an issue with a Littleton and a Kwiatkowski, and he's not going to have an issue with a Heath. It's the young guys who've underproduced today right now. Let me say something. You better be at home running or doing your Pelotons and drinking your Atkins shakes, because let me just say this. The country club is over. The silver and black are where it used to be. And like one of my best friends on planet Earth, Matt Millen, said, the very first day he showed up at his first Raiders training camp, rule number one, cheat. Rule number two, see rule number one. This is going to be fun, boys and girls. Training camp's going to be a battle, because this is going to make the offense better. because Bradley's going to have them competing all the time. It's going to remember, this is another advantage he has. He's going to get to build a defense against one of the top offenses in all of the National Football League. Practice is going to be fun. Dear God, Scott, can you believe you and I are going to get paid to be at training camp next year to watch some OTAs? I'm jacked up. Can you tell it?
I can tell. All right, that's going to take us to our first break. Hondo's going to catch a breath. I'm going to get a Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. And when we come back, we're going to visit with Gilbert Manzano, the Chargers beat writer, good friend of the show, for the Orange County Register. We're going to talk to him about Gus Bradley, his impressions from covering him, the what he says players talk to him about when it comes to Gus Bradley's time in Los Angeles. You're with Hondo. You're with Scott. This is Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Scott Gulbranson, Hondo Carpenter sitting in with me today, special guest co-host as we roll along, brought to you by our good friends, Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Check them out at samandashlaw.com because you deserve what's best. Speaking of the best, one of the best guys in the business, one of the best beat writers there is, and that, of course, is Gilbert Manzano, Orange County Register. No stranger to Las Vegas. Of course, he was here with the Review Journal, covered a lot of things from boxing to the Raiders. We decided, hey, Gilbert knows. He covered Gus Bradley. We're going to bring Gilbert on to talk about it. Gilbert, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing well, Scott. Thank you for the best intro I've ever had.
I try, man. I try, but I always mean it. It's never fluff. All right, so let's talk about Gus Bradley. So you've been down there covering the Chargers again for a couple seasons. Overall, give us just your impression of Gus Bradley as the coach. I mean, you've had to deal with him even in this weird year with Zoom and all that, as a journalist too. What are the Raiders getting with Gus Bradley as their new defensive coordinator?
Well, first of all, from a reporter standpoint, you're going to get a well-liked guy, a guy who gives you very honest, thoughtful answers. I've learned so much from press conferences with Gus Bradley. You know, sometimes he's shy with some X's and O's, but in terms of player development and stuff like that, he gives you the real deal. So on that part, for the reporter, is going to be good. And in terms for the Raiders, you know, his track record, pretty much, and it was a little shaky in Jacksonville when he was a head coach. But coordinator stuff, when he's calling plays and on focus on defense, he's done pretty well with the Chargers. The first 2 years were really they were great. 2017, 2018, and I know 2019, 2020 was a little rocky. But you know, when it comes to Gus Bradley, he has a good system. Games are rarely lopsided. The passing defense is always pretty solid throughout the year. So you know what you get in Gus Bradley. There's things that there are some cons, but overall, he usually has a solid defense throughout the year.
Gilbert, this is Hondo Carpenter. Good to talk to you, buddy. One of the questions that I had for you is I talked to some players who played for him, and they said that he was demanding. He doesn't fool around. He's not a guy afraid to hold people accountable or bench people. How much did you get to see that, and how much do you think that helps him with a very young Raider roster?
Yeah, Hondo, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, when you're talking to Gus Bradley, you don't get that sense of a fiery head coach, a demanding head coach. But when he's out in the practice field, he's a different guy. You can really see that intensity. So when I first got there to cover the Chargers in halfway through 2018, I'm like, this guy's very likable, you know, very, you know, easygoing. I don't get how he's kind of motivating some of these guys. Maybe it's just a great system. But no, behind closed doors, he's going to get the best out of you. And there's a reason why so many players from, you know, Cam Chancellor, Bobby Wagner, the guys over there, Michael Benn in Seattle, to, you know, guys over in Jacksonville. I think I saw Allen Robinson, a wide receiver, have a nice sweep for Gus Bradley. But with the Chargers, Derwin James, Joey Bosa, they all love Gus Bradley because he demands so much. But he's also well-liked. He cares about his player. He's a player's coach. But at the same time, you cannot, you know, double cross Gus Bradley. No, regardless how nice he is to you, at the end of the day, he demands so much, and I think players expect the kind of that good balance that he has.
Again, Gilbert Manzano covers the Chargers for the Orange County Register, is our guest here. And one of the things, too, that I would love to hear from you, and Hondo touched on a little bit there about how his players feel about him. But one thing he said in the press conference yesterday, Gilbert, was he wants to make his players uncomfortable. Covering the team as you have now for almost two plus years, what sort of disciplinarian is, what kind of system, and from a practice perspective, from a guys in a discipline perspective, does he run, and how do they react to that usually?
Yeah, you know, the thing with Gus Bradley, he wants you to buy into the system. It's going to be very predictable. It's going to be the same stuff, you know, throughout the game, throughout the whole 16 games of the season. And maybe sometimes that frustrates players when, you know, sacks are not coming, takeaways and turnovers. But if he really gets guys to believe in the system and not waver, I think that will go a long way for the Raiders. I think the Chargers did a good job for 4 years. Or at least the first 2 years, especially that first year, I was surprised how good they were. I didn't cover the Chargers in 2017, but they're one of the top five teams in scoring defense. I think they only allow 17 points per game. So that first year, I think a lot of guys bought into the system. But it's very safe. It's very predictable. Whoever's going to be that free safety role, he's probably not going to have a lot of plays throughout the game. But he has to be ready and prevent big plays. I know for the Raiders, big plays was a problem a year ago, but that single high safety will work to that advantage to kind of, you know, prevent the monster, you know, 20 plays that kind of kill you throughout the game. Now, in terms of the pass rush, I know Max Crosby is there, but if the Raiders have a solid four, you know, they get by because Gus Bradley, he's not going to change. He doesn't call out a big blitz plays. He doesn't bring a lot of, you know, more than four guys. So if that, you know, that front four could, you know, get enough pressure, then everything works. That zone defense works. The single high safety works. But I think it starts up front. If four guys to bring the pressure, I think that system would go a long way for the Raiders.
Gilbert, one of the things that I was told by a man who played for him, and I'd love your insight here, is that he has no patience for anything less than 100% effort. And that he's going to, that they said one of the hardest things about playing for him is he's demanding in the classroom as much as on the field. And I explained to them two particular Raiders players, Damon Arnette, the corner, and Jonathan Abrams, the safety. Both guys have a lot of physical talent. Arnette needs to mature, and so does Jonathan Abrams. And they said they are instantly going to be put on alert that you better do as much in the classroom as on the field. And he's not going to have any patience for anything less than 100% effort. And they go, not just physically, mentally. How much does he mentally coach the game of football?
Hondo, I can't tell you how many times during a Gus Bradley press conference, he's always bringing out, you know, guys are taking good notes, good attention to detail, sitting in front of the classroom. Has he really noticed stuff like that? You know, how hard you work, how many notes you take, how many questions you're asking. So I think if any Raider players are listening to the show right now, make sure you sit up front, take a lot of notes, a lot of questions, because he does really pay attention to that. So I think he's going to demand a lot. He's going to expect you to work hard. I know nowadays it's kind of via Zoom, but he's going to pay attention, especially now that it's the first year with a new team. He's going to be seeing it, you know, seeing who wants to really improve. And like you mentioned, there's some guys there who were high draft picks, maybe haven't done too well. I think Gus Bradley was brought there to kind of improve guys like that. You look at Casey Hayward, the cornerback for the Chargers. He came from Green Bay. I think he was a second-round pick. Didn't do too well. But when he went to the Chargers and he went to Gus Bradley, he became a top number one cornerback for the Chargers for about 3 years. I know last year was kind of shaky, but that's what Gus Bradley does. He kind of takes guys to the next level, but he does really pay attention to that, the small things, the details, the notes, awareness, and just asking questions.
Gilbert Manzano.
Hey, Gilbert, I follow up that real quick?
Go right ahead.
So, Gilbert, I'm going to share a story I heard because I would love your angle because nobody would know this better than you. What a great guest to have today. One of the players said he was in a meeting and he informed that Gus informed one of the starters, you're benched. And when the guy asked him why, he says, because you're always texting your girlfriend. And he said, but I'm not watching you take notes. And evidently she, and he used some different language, is more important to you than what's supposed to be your profession and who you are. And this player said to me, he goes, if you think you can be a stupid player and play for him, you're stupid. He demands it. Did you like that side of him? And do you think it made the Chargers better?
I think so. You know, I'll tell you one side from the Chargers. I don't know if it's a Gus Bradley related thing, But Desmond King, the cornerback for the Chargers, who got traded to Tennessee, he was an all-pro in 2018 as a slot cornerback. He kind of maybe let up, you know, when it comes to work ethic and stuff like that. In 2019, the Chargers went out and got Chris Harris Jr. to replace him. Now he's gone. He never improved when it came to kind of behind the scenes. So I think maybe Gus Bradley was tired of it. And maybe, you know, Gus Bradley is so well-respected that Tom Telesco and Anthony Lynn noticed that. They know Desmond King, who maybe you'll be crazy to give up on a guy like that who 2 years ago was an all-pro. But if you're not getting the most from Gus Bradley, he cannot work that way. He cannot operate. And that's why he was out of the mix. So I think for all the young Raider players, that story that you just shared and the one I just shared, I think they'll be wise to just make sure you're all focused when it's time to go into the facility in Henderson. Sit down and take notes and make sure you're all focused there.
Gilbert, the question I have for you next is around what happened with him in Los Angeles, because you talked about, and numbers don't always tell the right story, and even though the Chargers are in the same division as the Raiders, Raider fans that are listening right now might not understand sort of how some of those numbers started tailing off. Did the last couple years there and some of the performance, was that really indicative of a lot of those injuries? I mean, the Chargers had so many different injuries, and on defense particularly, and a lot of games Bosa was out and hurt and banged up and all that. Did that significantly impact that defense, or was it something else?
Yeah, you know, I think it really hurt Gus Bradley's defense this year. It was not a typical Gus Bradley defense. When I was watching maybe in October, I was telling myself, I don't know what scheme or what defense this is, but it is not the Chargers Gus Bradley football that I'm used to seeing. Because, you know, usually with Gus Bradley, you know, games don't get out of hand. I know it's a very cautious scheme, but he keeps the game pretty close. You know, there's not big plays. So when that wasn't working, I'm like, it's got to be the injuries, because, you know, Joey Bosa missed a good amount of games. Melvin Ingram missed a lot of games. Derwin James was not there all year. Drew Tranquil, a very underrated linebacker, he missed pretty much the whole year. So I think when it comes to the Raiders side, I think you've got to have the right personnel to make the scheme work and have guys buy in. But for the Chargers side, you know, the guys weren't there. There was a lot of injuries, and maybe in 2019 that kind of got through. But, you know, by 2020, the injuries did not stop. So the sacks, the takeaways were pretty much at the bottom. People, especially fans, they got pretty restless, you know, when it came to those numbers. And also, when you're playing a lot of one-score games, maybe that could be maybe the knock on the offensive side of Anthony Lynn for the Chargers. When the games were so close, and you're asking Gus Bradley to play, you know, his zone defense, and you're giving up little windows here and there, and a team needs a field goal to win the game, that's usually all they need, and that's not a Gus Bradley system. Usually, you know, he's not playing man defense or blitzing a lot, and you got to do that in late game situations. Maybe it's a little knock on Gus Bradley. Maybe he didn't tinker too much, but the Chargers on the offensive side did not do him enough favors to at least when they're you know, keeping teams out of the end zone or the red zone. They're not scoring at the same time. So a lot of things to work and think. You hear the Patriots say all the time, complimenting football and stuff like that. So, but overall, the results for Gus Bradley were pretty solid for 4 years with the Chargers.
Yeah, and Gilbert, before we let you go, and we appreciate you spending so much time with us today, we also know that Bradley's going to be bringing along with him position coach Richard Smith and Ron Miles. Talk a little bit about those two guys and your experiences with them and what you may have heard from players on the field too.
Yeah, the Ron Miles, you know, going to Vegas really hurt Chargers fans, because he's done such a great job with the Chargers. I think he was even there before the Anthony Lynn regime. He's been there for a long time, and a lot of great players that Ron Miles has developed, from Jason Verrett to Derwin James, Michael Davis, Case Hayward, and I'm sure a lot of it has to do with Gus Bradley as well. But you've got to have good position coaches like Ron Miles and Richard Smith to really help out your staff. And there's a reason why Gus Bradley, you know, he took those guys. He knows they're very helpful. And credit to Gus Bradley, he's always given those guys credit. And every time we bring up, you know, why is the secondary doing so well, regardless of maybe how difficult the year has been, when you look at the passing defense, they're always top 10 for Gus Bradley. And he credits Ron Miles a lot. He's always talking about he likes to move guys around, but positionalist kind of defensive backs. Like, you look at Derwin James, from being a pass rusher to linebacker to safety, occasionally a corner, he could block tight end. So expect guys who are very versatile to move around. And the guys who are not versatile, you better learn how to play more than one position, because Ron Miles and Gus Bradley are going to notice that right away.
That's awesome. Gilbert, one quick question. I was told Miles is going to lower the boom on that defensive backfield that they probably have no clue what's coming with the culture shock. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah. I think, you know, I didn't get to speak to Ron Mattis too much because he's a position coach. But, yeah, I got the sense that that fiery side, Ron Mattis probably has it on a lot more than Gus Frey, because when Gus Frey talks to the media, he knows how to flip it. With Ron, I mean, I spoke to him a couple of times, but he's also very casual with the interviews. But I know behind closed doors in practice that he's going to bring the boom, like you say.
Wow. All right. Well, Gilbert Manzano, Orange County Register, we appreciate you spending time with us. Good luck with the Urban Meyer hunting and everything else you're doing with the Chargers head coaching job. Take care, my friend. We'll talk to you soon on Down the Line.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the time. Take care.
All right. There you go. Gilbert Manzano covers the Chargers for the Orange County Register. We're up against a break. When we come back, Hondo and I will close out the hour. I would love to hear phone calls. That was a great interview. Gives you some really big insight into Gus Bradley from a guy who spent 2+ seasons covering him down with the Chargers. 702-365-9200. Uncle Hondo, Scott with you here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Silver and Black Today on this hump day with Hondo. You like that, Hondo?
Hey, I love it, brother. does anything get better on a Wednesday than Silver and Black Radio and pounding a tomahawk steak for lunch and then talking football? If you're not excited to talk football, if you're not excited to talk about the Raiders, then you need to become a Detroit Lions fan, because being a part of Raider Nation is 24/7, 365, and Uncle Hondo comes bearing presents, and it's everything I told you about Gus Bradley.
That's right. Red-blooded American football fans. That's what Raider fans are, and we certainly appreciate them being here. We got a few minutes before the top of the hour. We want to get to our caller, Raider 27. You're on with Scott and Hondo on this Wednesday.
Hey, how can you not like Hondo? Man, how can you not get excited by that guy?
Right.
You know, I'm a little bit – I'm not as happy as I could be. You know, I had no idea how good of – what we were getting in Gus Bradley until Scott got me to, you know, get a hold of Siri and look at the numbers. And, you know – he's got a pretty good resume. He's really done pretty well wherever he's gone. If you look at the numbers and if you research where he's been and what's going on around him a little bit, it's like, holy cow, you know, this guy's not too bad. You know, the thing that upsets me, and it's probably just me, but, you know, we've been through all these rebuilds. It's, oh, we got to rebuild the whole thing. Oh, we got to rebuild the whole thing. And it's over and over. And I'm just so sick of that. We need continuity is just so important. So I sit there and I'm watching the playoffs, and oh, DeNico Autry's making a great play here and there, and Carey's making plays, and Joseph's making plays, and all these guys are making plays, and I'm like, how come we can't develop and keep our own talent instead of spending a whole lot of money on free agents that you never really know what you're getting? You know, Collins did really, really well until he got with the Raiders. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I had a friend of mine who was a professional hockey player years ago, and he told me that when you sign as a free agent, it could take you 2 years just to acclimate to the new city and learn your way to get to work, and you got to deal with your family, and you got so many things you got to deal with that it can be a whole year before you even really can feel comfortable playing.
Yeah.
So my thought has always been, you know, how come we couldn't have kept DeNico Autry? He was a great player. Shelby Harris.
Well, Raider 27, though, excuse me for interrupting you, but for all the guys you've mentioned, I think that's the only guy. I think you look at Carl Joseph, all those guys are role players. Yeah, they made plays. Yeah. The play that Carl Joseph made for the touchdown was completely circumstance of where he was, okay? So I think that you, before you do revisionist history on something, and I'm not belittling your point, because I think your point is right on, which is you have to, and Honda, you can jump in on this, you have to develop young talent, and you're right about free free agents. When you go into the free agent market, you got to make good free agent signings. I think Corey Littleton was a good free agent signing. And to your point, he had struggles under Gunther. It didn't work out for him, but now he's going to have someone who comes in and he has a position coach who knows how to use linebackers. He's done it with Melvin Ingram in Los Angeles. He's done it with other linebackers in the Charger system and back to Seattle. So I think they have the right guy in place. And Hondo, I think to his point is you have that young talent, and that's the point of why you bring in somebody like Gus Bradley, who's a master teacher, someone who insists on discipline, because you have to get that young talent where it should be.
I agree. And before I sound all allegoric, let me say to my nephew from his uncle Hondo, Raider 27, I love you too, brother. And let me just say this, though. I think when you look at Paul Gunther, I think if you want to blame somebody, it probably would be John Gruden, because clearly they wanted to rebuild the Raiders when they got here. And after year one, but especially after year two, when you were seeing, you know, some guys struggle, I think that he could have made a change. I understand why he didn't last year, so I'm not saying he should have fired Paul, but I'm just saying I get it. I understand it. But this year he had to go. And so when you say that's the only thing that concerns you, I want to mention this too about Khalil Mack. He's a guy that's making a boatload of money. And all of a sudden now you're looking at the Raiders, who there's coming, as you know, Uncle Hondo's warned you. I was the first to break this story. Now everybody's talking about it around the country, about the coming salary cap apocalypse. And the Raiders aren't in those bad spots. They got rid of a lot of those guys' contract. They're going to get a couple more that they can. So I understand your frustration. I don't think you're ill-informed. I get the, hey, I'm tired of the constant rebuilding. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a girl that says, hey, I'm tired of always being a bridesmaid. I want to be a bride. Well, guess what? I think you got exactly what you needed in a defensive coordinator. So Raider 27, Uncle Hondo's giving you a Christmas present 11 months early. Put on your Raider clothes, brother, and celebrate. I think you got something that this time next year, your team's going to be playing.
Yeah, well said. Okay, thank you, Raider 27. As always, great call. Always have great callers on the show. That's what's so awesome about Raider Nation and about Raider Nation Radio. It is the top of the hour. Hondo and I are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about free agent priorities and free agent possibilities for this Raiders team, specifically on the defense and other holes that might need to be filled that you might not think about. We'll talk about that next here as Silver and Black Today rolls on with Hondo and Scott on a Wednesday.